Let's hear the word of the Lord. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, would you open our hearts and minds now to receive your word to us, to receive it as the word of God and not as the word of man, for it is indeed your word. Lord, would you open our hearts and minds to receive it as grace and peace to us? Father, would your Spirit come? Open my mouth and my lips and open our ears now, that your will might be done in us for our joy and for your endless praise and glory, we pray. Amen. Well, for the younger ones here, maybe the high school age kids, although I hear really little kids are having phones these days. But for those of you who maybe are in high school, I wonder what your response would be if someone came up to you with the blessing of your parents and they had for you a brand new iPhone, or a brand new, whatever the other phones are, I don't even know, a brand new phone, $1,000 iPhone, right? Here you go, it's yours. Smile at least, right? Or let's think of something maybe a little bit bigger. You know, maybe your 16th birthday, and you come out of the front door in the morning and to find your dad standing on the driveway. Here it is, son. Brand new truck. Here it is, my precious daughter, your very own car. What kind of emotions arise within you? Joy and delight, celebration. For the adults here, you know, you're going to the bank on the Fortnite weekend, Friday, you have your check, you're going to deposit it. Some of you do that, most of you just kind of shows up there magically. But you go to the bank and you're going to deposit your check, and then the person says, I just wanted to let you know, while you deposit this check, that there's a few things on your account you probably want to be aware of. One is, you know, there's this mortgage line, and it's zero. It's gone. Somebody paid your mortgage. And something happens inside of you. You're excited about that. Or a friend comes to you and they tell you about some amazing new job that they couldn't even imagine they would have been offered, but they've been offered this job, and the salary is amazing, and the place they're going to be working and the things they're going to be doing is exactly what they wanted, and we get excited about these things. Now maybe those are a little bit impersonal gifts, financial things, but maybe consider something a little bit more personal. You are maybe 6 years old, and tragically you lose your whole family, and you're alone, and you don't know what's going to happen to you. And someone comes and says, come live with us. You be our child, and we will be your mother and father, and our children will be your siblings, and everything that is ours will be yours, and we will love you. We get excited about those stories even if we haven't even directly experienced. There's something beautiful and wonderful and precious about that. We celebrate it. We get excited about that. And yet, all of these things are earthly realities. All of these things are temporary things. Even the preciousness of human adoption is not an eternal reality. It's something that is beautiful and a blessing, but it's a blessing for the here and now. William Perkins writes this about adoption. He says, at earthly preferments, that's all the kinds of things we were just talking about. At earthly preferments, men will stand amazed. We know this is the case. We do it all the time. We stand amazed at wonderful things in the here and now. At earthly preferments, men will stand amazed, but seldom shall you find anyone that is ravished with joy in this, that he is a child of God. And so that is my sole goal this morning, brothers and sisters, that each and every one of us, as we look at this passage of Scripture, would stand amazed, ravished with joy in this, that you, believer, are a child of God Almighty. So I summarize the passage in this way. In order to get at that end, our status, believers, our status as adopted sons and daughters is a blessing of sovereign grace with infinite value, and therefore serves as an inexhaustible fountain of endless joy and praise. Our status, believers, as adopted sons and daughters, is a blessing of sovereign grace of infinite value, and therefore serves as an inexhaustible fountain of endless joy and praise. So let's look at our passage according to those two specific components. That is a blessing of sovereign grace, first of all, and then second, we'll look at its infinite value. Our status as adopted sons and daughters, first of all, as a blessing of sovereign grace, and then as we look directly at it as something of infinite value. So why do we say it's a blessing of sovereign grace? Because Paul tells us as much. The first reason why it is a blessing of sovereign grace is that we were predestined for it. We were predestined for this blessing. Therefore, it is sovereign. It comes to us from a sovereign God. Now, there are people who stumble over the word predestination. I've had people say directly to me, you don't believe in predestination, do you? Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something about the Greek language. You know, it's a crazy thing. When you look at the Greek, right here in verse 5, it says he predestined us. And the Greek word for predestined means predestined. So So brothers and sisters, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's just not stumble over it in that sense. Let never a Christian say you don't believe in predestination, do you? For insofar as we find it laid out for us clearly without any apology in the Word of God, let us believe it. Paul says it. He predestined us. What does predestined mean? It means he destined certain people beforehand to something. In this case, adoption. This is a blessing of sovereign grace because God, from before the foundation of the world, we've seen this already in the first three, in verse 3 and 4, that we are looking back up, as it were, into the times before time, into the eternal counsels of God, the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wherein he chooses for himself people. And he destines those people from before the foundation of the world for something. And in this passage, the thing that he destines them for before the foundation of the world, before they even exist, is the blessing of adoption as sons. And so the sovereign nature of the grace of this blessing of adoption could not be more clear, because God takes us, as it were, from this present world in which we live, from the reality in which we currently experience, and draws us up way out far from it before any of us ever existed, and says, you believer, before the foundation of the world, I set my love upon you, that you would be my son or daughter. This is a blessing of sovereign grace, because it is a blessing to which we are predestined. And Paul wants us to know that. God, the Father Almighty, wants us to know that. You see, we when we read the New Testament, especially the epistles of the Apostle Paul, the letters of Paul, he is jealous, is he not? He is jealous to show us that in our salvation, there is no ground for boasting whatsoever. He says that explicitly again and again. God so works our salvation so as to specifically and intentionally remove every single ground for boasting. And so here, Paul, in laying these foundations, says, just in case you miss it in any other way, don't miss it here. Every ground that you could ever have for boasting, anything that you could ever seek to find in yourself that would be ground for God to receive you or call you to himself or give you the blessings of adoption is ruled out automatically, because this is a blessing of sovereign grace. This is a blessing to which you were destined before the foundation of the world. Therefore, it cannot be due ultimately to anything found in any human being. The ground for this blessing cannot ultimately be found within a human individual if it's not found in us. Then where is it found? This is the second reason why this blessing of adoption as sons and daughters is a blessing of sovereign grace, because it is found entirely in God himself. You see, the second thing is that it's according to the purpose of his will. You see that in verse 5, just a little bit way down there. This predestination from before the foundation of the world for adoption is not according to anything in people, but it is according to the purpose of his will. The word translated purpose sounds a little bit abstract. But what we see here in God's decision is indeed the good pleasure. Some translations have according to the kindness or the kind intention of his will, according to the good pleasure of his will. Brothers and sisters, the thing that moved God to destine you to be adopted as his sons and daughters is entirely in himself, and it is his own delight. It is according to his good pleasure. Brothers and sisters, before the foundation of the world, it was the delight of the eternal God to say, "You will be my son or daughter." It was his delight. This is no abstract, disconnected, kind of cold thing that happens in eternity. No, this is the overflow of the very pleasure of the triune God himself, which manifests itself in a decision to make certain individuals his sons and daughters. It's from before the foundation of the world. It is something that we were destined to, and he made that decision according to the purpose or good pleasure of his own will. Brothers and sisters, this is a blessing of sovereign grace. There is nothing outside of God that moves him to act in this way. This action comes from within God himself. And so our status as adopted sons and daughters is a blessing of sovereign grace. Now, it's manifestly a blessing of grace because we see that if it is from before the foundation of the world and it is entirely according to the purpose of God's will, then it cannot be due to anything in us. Therefore, it cannot be merited in any way by us. There is nothing we could have done to deserve this. There is nothing we could have done to attract this from God. No, it is entirely free and comes entirely from God himself. Now, before we go on to see the infinite value of this blessing, let us just look for one moment at the way that understanding the blessing as a blessing of sovereign grace according to the delight of God himself serves as a foundation, an inexhaustible fountain of endless joy and praise. The mere fact that it's a blessing of sovereign grace provides for us an inexhaustible fountain of endless joy and praise, because here is where the rubber meets the road. Brother or sister, as you understand yourself to be one who trusts in Christ and him alone for your salvation, when you ask the question, why me? When you ask the question, why me? Why should I be counted as a son or daughter of the Almighty Creator of the universe? You can search across the widest oceans and over the highest mountains and into the deepest valleys, and you will never find the answer in yourself. You will never find the answer, why me, in yourself. You will only find the answer in God. And that will bring every true believer to their knees in wonder, just awestruck wonder. Why should it be me? Why should I be a son or daughter of the King? Why should I be one who has trusted in Him? And the answer to that question is entirely found in God, in His good pleasure. And brothers and sisters, that is truly a fountain for endless joy. For all eternity, you will sing that song, "Why me? Only because of you. Why me? Only because of you, God. Only because of you." And indeed, we see, as this is a blessing of sovereign grace, it has the express intention of producing for endless ages of eternity a people who will praise the glory of His grace. You see that there in verse 6. This act of predestining a people to adoption as sons and daughters, according to the purpose of His will, according to the good pleasure of His will, has as its ultimate goal, its ultimate end, the praise of the glory of His grace. The praise of the glory of His grace. This is the end for which God created the world. The manifest display of His glory and the praise of the glory of His grace for all eternity. There are many ends that lie along the path to that end, but there is only one final goal, one ultimate thing to which all other things are summed up and rise up into, and that is the praise of the glory of the grace of God. And so, brothers and sisters, in light of that reality, let us live our lives now in light of what we will spend all of eternity doing, and that is living for His glory and praising the glory of His grace. So the blessing of sovereign grace provides an inexhaustible fountain of endless joy and praise. But we said that it's infinitely valuable. Our status as adopted sons and daughters is not just a blessing of sovereign grace, but it's an infinitely valuable blessing of sovereign grace. So we want to look at least four things that make this blessing a blessing of infinite value. The first thing that makes this blessing a blessing of infinite value is that in this blessing we receive as our Father, the Almighty Creator of the universe. You see why William Perkins said it's an amazing thing that we don't find men ravished with joy in this, that they are children of God. Have we considered the infinite value of this reality, brothers and sisters? That in this blessing, the blessing of adoption, we receive the Creator of heaven and earth, the only wise God, the good and perfect and holy God, the one in whom there is no darkness, the one in whom there is no shadow or shifting due to change, the one who is Himself love, gives Himself freely to us as our Father in this blessing. Oh, we would rejoice. There are people who had horrible earthly fathers and would have rejoiced so gloriously just to receive a kind and loving father here on earth. And there are countless orphans across the world who would delight with amazing joy to receive a kind and loving father here on earth. But beloved, have we grasped? Have we grasped the wonder of receiving the one who is not like us, the one who is creator when we are creature, as our father? That's the first reason why this is an infinitely valuable blessing, because the one whom we receive as our father in this blessing is of infinite value in and of himself. He is indeed the one who gives anything else any value that it has. Secondly, it is of infinite value because of the rights that are granted in it. We receive God as our Father, but in receiving Him as our Father, as He gives Himself to us to be our Father by adoption, He gives us all the rights that heirs would have, except we are heirs not of some earthly man, not of some earthly king, not of some earthly emperor, but of the creator of the universe, and therefore, being heirs of Him, the rights granted to us are all the rights that belong to the heirs of the universe. Everything is ours as sons and daughters of the King of all creation. Everything, Paul says, whether life or death, Paul or Apollos, all things are ours because we are His sons. Consider the things that throw us off in this life, the things that distract us, the things that cause us anxiety and concern. Don't have enough of this, or I don't know how I'm going to accomplish that. I don't know what my future holds. Will I have this job tomorrow? Will someone in my family get injured tomorrow? Will I even live through the night? Brothers and sisters, what stabilizing peace awaits us if we would meditate on this reality, that no matter what comes, we are heirs of the universe. It is all ours, and nothing can take it from us. And so this blessing of adoption as sons and daughters is infinitely valued because we receive the glorious Father, God Himself, and we receive all the rights and privileges of heirs to heaven. And then it is infinitely valued because it is costly. It is costly. We see that the instrument of bringing this adoption to us is Jesus Christ Himself. You see there in verse 5 that he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. This blessing is of infinite value because of the cost of the blessing. The cost of the blessing. Paul says in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. That we might receive the adoption as sons. It is through Jesus Christ, because it required the work of Jesus Christ to take those who were rebels against God, those who were enemies of God, those who had sinned against God and broken His law and deserved eternal punishment because of it. Those who were estranged and alienated from God because of their sin and their status as sinners. It took nothing less than the work of the eternal Son of God incarnate to live a perfect life and die a substitutionary death. To bring about our adoption as sons and daughters. When it delighted God the Father from all eternity to destine people to adoption as sons and daughters to Himself, that decision cost Him. It was His intention. It was His intention from before the foundation of the world to not just adopt certain people, but to bring about their salvation through the cost of His own Son. We must reflect long on the value of our adoption as we reflect on the cost, the instrument being Christ and His substitutionary death on the cross. The fourth thing that gives our adoption, this blessing, its infinite value, is that in it we are given it in and through union with Christ. So this adoption is not just through Jesus Christ, but it is also the grace that is given us in the Beloved, Paul says in verse 6. This grace with which He has blessed, or with which He has graced us in the Beloved. To have, brothers and sisters, to have this status as the adopted sons and daughters of God Almighty is to be united with His Son by faith, such that everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God incarnate by nature, we receive by union with Him. These things were rightfully His, and then they are granted to us. What this means, brothers and sisters, is that your status as a son or daughter of God Almighty is as secure as Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. No more could Jesus Christ lose His status as the Son of God than a believer in Jesus Christ could lose their status as a son or daughter of the King. And so there is an endless fountain for joy and praise. Brothers and sisters, you no more could lose your inheritance than Jesus could lose that which belongs to Him as the eternal Son of God. You could no more lose your inheritance than Jesus could lose those to whom the Father has given to Him. You could no more be cast out from the presence of your Father than the eternal Son of God Himself could be cast from the presence of His Father in heaven. Our status as adopted sons and daughters is a blessing of sovereign grace, and is infinitely valuable, and therefore serves as an inexhaustible fountain of endless joy and praise. The confession of every child of God. The confession of every child of God is this: see what kind of love the Father has given to us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. The final thing to say is simply this: how could you know that this blessing is yours? If this is something from the eternal counsels of the God, destined from before the foundation of the world, then how can Paul know that those to whom he writes have received this blessing, belong to this people? And we know it because he simply looks at the fruit. He simply looks at the outward manifestation of the inward reality. You see that all of these things come only and exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ and through his work. And therefore, if you want to know if you are a partaker of them, if you want to know if it is true of you that you have been predestined for adoption from before the foundation of the world according to the good pleasure of the will of God Almighty, you must look at your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reason Paul confidently tells the people these things about them, these things that are from the foundation of the world, you see it down in verse 15. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith and your love for the saints." Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Paul sees the faith, and he sees the love that testifies to the genuineness of the faith, and then he says, "This is true of you." And so, friends, if you're here this morning, the single most important question in your existence is, what is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your relationship to the beloved one of God? What is your relationship to him? Because it is only those who, despairing of all hope in themselves, and with empty hands, receive the work of Jesus Christ on their behalf, who can be said to be partakers in this glorious reality. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is precious to us. And you have given it to us for our joy. And so I pray this morning that every believer here, through the words of your scripture, would be ravished with joy at the reality that we are sons and daughters of you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, would it please you even this morning? Would it please you even this morning to bring those here who do not trust in Jesus and him alone to saving knowledge and faith in him, that they too with us might experience this glorious joy and blessing, knowing that they too are sons and daughters of the King.